Voluntold. They're like, all right, if we give this guy...
We are live from Vanguard headquarters in New Orleans. Our home for the next week. Our home away from home. This is another episode on Interview with a Vanguard. Not to be confused with Interview with a Vampire. They are very much so different.
Sharp and pointy teeth.
So Alan, why don't you introduce our next guest?
This is Johnny from Little Rock, Arkansas.
That's pretty cool.
Johnny from Little Rock. You know, you can call me anything but Shirley. Like, surely not. Come on, airplane, anybody? Yeah. There we go. There we go. Don't have to stretch.
So who do we have here with us?
My name is John Nicholson. I probably should be giving a false name, but I'll say John Nicholson.
That's okay. We delete these afterwards. Yeah. After these are open to the world. They're deleted.
Oh, these don't go on YouTube forever. Okay, so I'm with VMware Storage and Availability, technical marketing architect focused on vSAN. It's a mouthful. It doesn't really fit on an email signature, but it is a title, I guess. So, and I'm ready for Ask John Anything about vSAN or VMware Storage, Core Storage, or
actually, I was thinking just
anything in general, really, life, the universe. 42 is the answer you're looking for.
I think we have an excellent chance to ask questions about anything hyperconverged infrastructure.
HCI is a big
HCI.
It's pretty hot right now here.
It is. And so what is the uptake team? So I get to see the uptake from the Microsoft side. What's the uptake been from VMware? So this has been, you know, out in the wild now for how many years?
So vSAN was released in the spring of 2014. So it's been a short little journey here. We're at a $300 million run rate from a revenue standpoint. I think our, you know, compounding rate of growth is over 70%. We're exceeding the market rate. Customer basis, the last reported, which was the last earnings call, obviously, it's been a little while since then, was 7,000.
Wow.
And that's fantastic. Accelerating in a big upward fun curve. This is fun. There's a delay here, so
I know,
you need to watch myself.
Don't look at this.
Yeah. I'll try not to mentally watch that. But no, I mean, we're seeing traditional storage go into secular decline. We're seeing a negative CAGR, compounding annual rate of growth on traditional storage arrays. People are replacing their storage with hyperconverged. And the joint statement of VMware, Dell Technologies, and EMC, which, you know what, these guys obviously sell a lot of traditional storage arrays, is that 85% of customer use cases are suitable for hyperconverged, and fundamentally, you should lead with hyperconverged. So you should be working from an exclusionary basis of which workloads should I also put on an external array, or what would make hyperconverged unsuitable in this environment.
Well, it kind of makes an interesting play with the Dell EMC acquisition for you guys as well, too, because you really have an agnostic solution that can really work on any hardware platform that's certified. So HPE, Dell, Supermicro, you know, it can technically speaking work on that across as long as you meet the hardware specifications.
Yeah, so we've got 16 server vendors that are supported today. We've got hundreds and hundreds of different discrete storage devices. And when I say those are supported, I mean that as a joint certification. I mean that both ourselves extend support for that server platform. We've done hardware validation and testing, as well as that server vendor is reciprocated that support. So they have jointly committed to that. So we've got people like HP who have committed. So if there's any type of issue that a customer faces, we will jointly work together towards that resolution and solution.
That's very, very cool. What type of workloads are you seeing? That's Clint. He's just dinging around here.
So from a workload positioning, I mean, when you look, so we're in our sixth release now, so it's come quite a ways. In the early days, it was about your traditional low-hanging fruit. It's kind of like virtualization, that same growth curve. We started with the low-hanging fruit of, say, test dev, VDI, tier 2, apps, testing, things like that. And then we accelerated. Now the majority of our customers have some type of business-critical tier 1 application. They're running SQL, they're running Exchange, so forth on their environment. I mean, I talk to customers running Oracle Rack and crazy stretch cluster configs. There's one major airline that I talked to, you know, in Americas, who they're using it for their primary flight tracking systems. We actually have a lot of customers in the airline industry. So there's a lot of cases where, you know, I talked to customers putting vSAN on oil rigs and pressure monitoring systems and natural gas facilities, to where if vSAN goes down, people could die. So it's in healthcare. there is no one vertical. It's really kind of everywhere. And it, again, it follows that same growth curve that vSphere. In fact, it's actually growing faster than vSphere from a client adoption rate. Wow. So.
And so, so next question for you that I have is, do you have some questions on Twitter?
Yeah, we've got a couple here. So
here, I can see if I can pull them up here.
So, hey, John. So you think Storage Spaces Direct is Microsoft's copy of VMware's vSAN?
So, I mean, I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to throw shade, I guess, at competitors. But they've got their own.
It's a shot across the
back. You know. No, but it's one of those things where, you know, we have a lot of customers using our product. We have, obviously, we're the market leader. We have as many customers as the next two follow-ups in that HCI space. And so we've got a good early mover advantage. That said, I don't want to take that for granted and say we're not going to keep innovating. This last release, I mean, we've been releasing twice a year, which is significantly faster than the normal vSphere cadence. And we plan to maintain that level of aggressive innovation. From a competition standpoint, obviously, this is a growth market. This is going to be a multi-billion dollar market. In fact, if you look at the hardware drag attached to that $300 million of vSAN licensing from a software with a 5x hardware drag, it's already a billion-dollar product. So obviously, everybody's going to want a piece right. of the HCI action. Now, will we be able to maintain leadership in that? You know, that's up to our engineers' ability to deliver awesome innovation. And one thing I'll really give them credit for is when I found out the lead engineer was German, I was really worried because I'm like, great, he's going to build a BMW. This thing's going to be awesome, really fast. Hell to manage. But actually, if you look at particularly at the last release, half of our features and a lot of really half of our roadmap are lifecycle centric, making this product easy to manage, not being about CLI based management, but being able to push a button and push firmware to hardware. Because as much as we talk about it's a software defined world, the hardware matters and making sure you have lifecycle management, things like that, integrating that and supporting that across multiple OEMs, it's hard work. And that's something our engineering is focused on delivering.
That's very cool.
Got one more here.
Okay.
So what workloads do you not see fitting HCI? So you were talking you have airlines and critical workloads that where people can die. What should not run on HCI?
So really, when I say HCI is a solid fit for 85% of workloads, yeah, I say there's 15%. There are workloads out there that are outliers. And so an example of this, and one thing to note is I lack the hubris to stand here today and tell you vSAN will be the only storage in anyone's environment. There's some people in the HCI space who have a bit more hubris and pride than I do, and I don't match them. But one thing I'll note is, so let's say you've got a highly asymmetric storage growth that is irrespective of performance growth. So maybe I've got 2 petabytes of cold archive. I've got, I'm the city of Houston Public Works. I'm taking a picture of every pothole that's ever existed. You know what? Adding a host beyond a certain point to add capacity, it doesn't make sense. Go buy a big modular, buy a giant E-Series or HUS or VNX or something. Go stuff that cold data on there. Alternatively, if you know you're doing something crazy where you need a 500 terabyte LUN with 20 million IOPS, I mean, vSAN, there are cases where, you know, we have cases where you can push 150,000 IOPS per host in a 64 node cluster. You can push 9 million IOPS. Maybe you need 20 million IOPS or you've got the largest ERP deployment for the biggest Fortune 100. Okay, you know, go buy a DSSD or something exotic. Those outliers exist, but at the same time, we started with a smaller portion market. We're slowly expanding. We're constantly finding ways to evolve that consumption model. And what we find is where you do need that external storage, we do extend the same policy-based management framework for vSAN, the SPBM, Storage-Based Policy Management, which is really kind of a lame product name. We should call it something awesome like Thunderbolt Mongoose. So, in fact, you heard it here today, folks. We're going to call it Thunderbolt Mongoose. Product
live.
Rename.
It's live. Right
it's now. Live. It's happening. But we extend
hashtag
that
Thunderbolt
we extend that same management. So if you got a VMAX, you got a Compellent, you've got a SolidFire, you've got an external array, you can use that same management framework we have. We extend it with vVols. And give that same granularity of management, that same policy and compliance framework that then can be managed by a vCloud Director, by OpenStack, by Vue, by all these other products that can consume that policy management goodness and have that end-to-end control. We extend that. So again, we lack that hubris to say we'll be the only thing, but for those outliers, we at least extend our management outward. While a lot of people in the HCI space have tried to make it it's all HCI, the only thing you'll ever buy is this one product, and that's a little arrogant. I'm sorry.
So what are you guys seeing? Because it sounds like your run rate is absolutely amazing over the last few years, and that's a pretty fast ramp up for any product. What are you guys seeing in terms of next generation flash? NVMe taking over? Like, what do you guys see as the biggest kind of foundation? Still seeing a lot of, you know, enterprise flash, NVMe taking over, combinations. What are you guys seeing?
So starting in Q3 of last year, we saw all flash take over the majority of net new VCN opportunities. Hybrid's still around. We love hybrid. We're not going to kill it. That said, from just a cost basis model, the additional storage efficiencies, consistency of performance, we're at the point that hybrid solutions were great. You know, Janice in accounting liked the fact that her app responded in 5 seconds most of the time. But the problem is now she's mad when it takes 30 seconds when you get an outlier on that hybrid workflow. Yep. People want consistent. They want Bolsheviks in their data center. They want storage socialism. They want consistency. And so people want all flash. And being able to do that cost effectively with data efficiencies, that's really, you know, taken over. From a hardware basis, we were the first HCI vendor to support NVMe. Part of being a software solution and working with everyone in the industry is we can adopt new hardware platforms very aggressively. And so what we're seeing is NVMe take a big deal. One thing you're going to see here very shortly with the Purley-based platforms, like for instance, Dell just announced their 14th generation servers, and the other OEMs will of course match suit, is NVMe, you're going to see it not just be for one or two bays, but for, you know, 10 or 20 devices. You're going to see NVMe largely replace SAS and SATA very quickly. While there is a slight premium on those devices, getting rid of the need for RAID controllers, HBAs, SATA and SAS, which were never designed for flash, getting them out of the IO path should lower CPU overhead, which should allow you to run more workloads on an HCI platform. At the end of the day, you know, if we use all the compute for storage, that doesn't really actually deliver anything useful. The other thing also is we're seeing NVDEMs will become more important in the coming months. We're also going to see 3D Crosspoint, obviously Intel in the form of Octane and other packaging is releasing that. We announced day zero support for Octane. We already jointly support it. Been working with Intel. It's in our labs. And as soon as you can actually buy hardware and find it, it is certified and does work. It is on the HCL. So it's one of those things to where the traditional storage refresh cycle, if you looked at it, it was often a 5-year cycle of, you know, new VMAX or, you know, something comes out and then you had to wait 5 years for them to support the newest generation. We're able to move on a months or day zero time frame, and that's something that HCI had really as a first mover advantage in, is being able to leverage that new flash and storage technology.
How about using vSAN as a backup target, active backup target for VMAX?
So I've certainly seen people use as a backup target. But the other thing I encourage you to use as a DR target. So one thing that gets lost, one thing that gets horribly lost. So recent local university, they had an outage, they had a fiber channel fabric outage. They had 1,000 VMs go down. They had to go reboot everything, and they had a hybrid infrastructure. One of the challenges of that hybrid infrastructure is the data that's required for booting and substantiating those applications is often migrated to the cold tier. And so it took them 8 hours to bring all those VMs back up. vSAN and hyperconverged, you know, in general, makes all flash much more affordable, and you're linearly scaling your boot IOPS and you're providing a consistent IO perspective with that compute. So your boot storm is going to scale. And if you're doing your sure replica, your sure backup, and you're actually testing that, you know, and making sure you can, you're making sure you can not only hit your recovery point objectives, but your recovery time objectives, which are part of, you know, when Veeam made the announcement at VMon previously, where they said, we want to become an availability company. A key part of that is making sure not just that you can recover data, but you can actually get it back in a reasonable time frame. People aren't willing to accept 8 hours to recover from just power loss, which is effectively, and if you think about it, the people, when you're sizing for DR, you actually need more IOPS for that DR, for that boot storm in a large environment, than you do for steady state in your production. Yep. Because no one ever reboots their whole environment. Even when the financial accounting runs on the weekend, the DR is the biggest boot storm from an IO perspective, and we need all flash vSAN or all flash something in order to be able to scale. And having that hyperconverged, scaling out those IO with your compute, that's critical to being able to deliver on DR.
Awesome. Well, John, thank you very much, as always. It's a pleasure to have you, and we'll hopefully catch you throughout the week as well. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.